This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Kia ora, no mai, haere mai. Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Melanie Petrosky and you're listening to Mel's Magnificent Bible Study. Thank you for joining me today for episode 19 about what's in the Bible. I hope you can join me with your Bible today, but if you don't have one, we can provide you with one. Call us here at Radio Hawke's Bay on 06 878 8710, and if the phone is unattended, please leave a message with your name, phone number, and that you'd like a Bible, and we'll contact you. That number again is 06 878 8710. Now please listen with a parent, guardian or trusted adult today if you can, as we talk about mature topics. And by all means, if you are an adult listening, welcome. Let's learn together. And I would also like to take this opportunity to let you know these episodes are available online to listen to at any time on the radio station's website, radiohawkesbay.org.nz. Just click on the programs and put Mel in the search field and Mel's Magnificent Bible Study will pop up and you can click on Episodes and More, where you'll find all my episodes and may be able to download the most recent episode. So we're in Genesis chapter 31 today, where Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, was called by God to return to his homeland and revive his heritage. In order to do this, he would have to face his brother Esau, his greatest challenge in fulfilling this command. But God promised him he would not be alone. So we're up to Genesis 32, actually now, where Jacob leaves his uncle Laban with his two wives, the two handmaids, and the 12 children back to his homeland in Canaan. And he decides to respect his brother Esau and send him messages and gifts. Now I will read from God's Word translation. As Jacob went on his way, God's angels met him, possibly to reassure and protect him. When he saw them, Jacob said, "This is God's camp." So he named the place Mahanaim, which means double or two camps. Jacob may have been referring to the angels as one camp, along with his own as another camp, and viewing their presence as evidence of divine protection. This was Jacob's second encounter with the angels of God, as his first was in Genesis chapter 28, when he saw the supernatural ladder with angels ascending and descending on it. Now, the Scofield Study Bible says Mahanaim means two hosts or bands. The invisible band, Jacob and his servants, and the invisible band, God's angels. And mentions the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 to 17, where we see one of God's prophets, Elisha, telling his servant after he saw a city surrounded with both horses and chariots. He said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." And Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man's servant, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So no doubt there was angels. So the invisible host of heaven, the angels, who were invisible to Elisha's servant, became visible, which is probably what Jacob experienced there at Mahanaim. Now Jacob sent messages ahead of him to his brother Esau in Seir, the country of Edom. He commanded them to give this message to Esau. "Sir, this is what Jacob has to say. I've been living with our uncle Laban and have stayed until now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats and male and female servants. I've sent these messages to you to tell you this news in order to win your favour. Now other Bible versions say that I may find favour, kindness, mercy and grace in your sight." When the messengers came back to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau. He is coming to meet you with 400 men. Jacob was fearful, terrified, and distressed because he thought Esau was still angry with him. So he divided the people, the sheep, goats, the cattle, and the camels into two camps. He thought if Esau attacks one camp, then the other camp will be able to escape. Maybe this was about what the angels were trying to portray to Jacob in Mahanaim, to get into two camps. And two camps could also have a deeper meaning, meaning Jacob's camp and Esau's camp, or even the camp of good and evil. Then Jacob prayed, "God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your land and to your relatives and I will make you prosperous. I'm not worthy of all the love and faithfulness you have shown me. I only had a shepherd's staff when I crossed the Jordan River, but now I have two camps. Please save me from my brother Esau because I am afraid of him. I'm afraid that he'll come and attack me and my mothers and children, and the mothers and children too. But you did say, I will make sure that you are prosperous and that your descendants will be as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. No one will be able to count them because there are so many." So Jacob stayed there that night. Then he prepared a gift for his brother Esau from what he had brought with him: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 female sheep and 20 male sheep, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He placed servants in charge of each herd. Then he said to his servants, "Go ahead of me and keep a distance between the herds." He commanded the first servant, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong and where are you going and whose animals are these ahead of you? Then say, 'Sir, they belong to your servant Jacob. This is a gift sent to you. Jacob is right behind us.'" He also commanded the second servant, the third, and all the others who followed the herds. He said, "Say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and be sure to add, 'Jacob is right behind us, sir.'" He thought, "I'll make peace with him by giving him this gift, and I'm sending ahead of me. After that, I will see him, and he'll welcome me back." So Jacob sent the gift ahead of him while he stayed in the camp that night. So from the Revival Study Bible, it says Jacob, motivated by this fear of Esau's vengeance, used great caution as he endeavored to be obedient to God's command to return to his homeland. Revival of painful family relationships, divided generations, heritage, and home require tremendous wisdom. He had not forgotten Esau's angry hatred for him, which had forced him to flee. When trying to revive such matters, Jacob demonstrated humility before God, depending on him for help. Second, in order to appease Esau, make him happy, he sent gifts at the forefront of the procession, purposed to gain Esau's favor and protect the families involved. Lastly, Jacob spent that night before the Lord. Nothing can replace these necessities in revival of relationship, family, and heritage. even today in our world. Humility, seeking favour through generosity and prayerful waiting on God, are an unbeatable combination. And as I said, even for today, that is a winning combination for us in our lives. So I will continue reading from the Expanded Bible from verse 22. During the night, Jacob rose and crossed the Jabbok River, which means pouring out, at the crossing, taking with him his two wives, his two servant girls or handmaids, and his 11 sons. He sent his family and everything he had across the river. The Jabbok River was a tributary of the Jordan River. A tributary is a stream that flows to a wider body of water, or some Bibles say a ford, F-O-R-D, ford, which is the place of a river shallow enough to be crossed by wading, which is walking through water using your arms under the water as well, wading through the water. This area was 15 miles or 24 kilometres, so a little more than the distance between Napier and Hastings here in Hawke's Bay, north of the Dead Sea in the Transjordan. This region of Transjordan is mostly in the region of present-day Jordan today. So the Amplified Bible continues. So Jacob was left alone, and a man came and wrestled with him until the break of day. The Voice Bible says, but Jacob stayed behind, left alone in his distress and doubt. In the twilight of his anguish, an unknown man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he touched his hip joint, and Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. The Amplified Bible says that this was God himself, or Jesus, in the form of an angel, as Jacob eventually realizes later in verses 29 and 30. And it's mentioned in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse 4, which says from the New International Reader's Version, at Peniel, he struggled with the angel and won. Jacob wept and begged for his blessing. God also met with him at Bethel, and he talked with him there. Then the man said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And the man said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Israel means he who strives with God, or God strives. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why do you ask for my name? And he declared a blessing of the covenant promises on Jacob there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, which means the face of God, saying, I have seen the face of God, God face to face, yet my life has not been snatched away from me. Now the sun rose on him as he passed Peniel, or Penuel, as some versions say, and he was limping because of his hip. That's why the Israelites, to this day, don't eat the meat attached to an animal's hip, because Jacob's hip is touched by Elohim, God. Now the Scofield Study Bible says, Jacob means supplanter, and Israel means a prince with God. Supplanter means someone or something taking the place of another through force, scheming, or strategy. And as we know, Jacob tricked, deceived, and schemed against his brother, father, and uncle. So Jacob, the supplanter, becomes Israel, a prince with God. That Bible also says Jacob represents the natural man or fleshly characteristics of the nation, and Israel represents the spiritual part of the nation descended from Jacob. Now, Genesis chapter 33 describes Jacob meeting Esau. I'll read from the Amplified Bible. Then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two handmaids. He put the handmaids and the children in front, Leah and her children after them, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. Then Jacob crossed over the stream ahead of them and bowed himself to the ground seven times, bowing and moving forward each time until he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and hugged his neck and kissed him, and they wept for joy. Esau looked up and saw the woman and the children and said, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob replied, "They are the children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the handmaids approached with their children, and they bowed down. Leah also approached with her children, and they bowed down. After Joseph and Rachel approached, they bowed down. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all this company which I have met?" And Jacob said, "These are to find favor in your sight of my Lord." Jacob was being very respectful to Esau, but maybe from his scaredness too. But Esau said, "I have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob replied, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my gift as a blessing from my hand. For I see your face as if I had seen the face of God, and you have received me favorably. Please accept my blessing gift, which has been brought to you, for God has dealt graciously with me, and I have everything that I could possibly want." So Jacob kept urging him, and Esau accepted the gift of all the animals. Then Esau said, "Let us get started on our journey, and I will go in front of you to lead the way." But Jacob replied, "You know, my lord, that the children are frail and need gentle care, and the nursing flocks and herds with young are of concern to me. For if the men should drive them hard for a single day, all the flocks will die. Please let my lord go on ahead of his servant, and I will move on slowly, governed by the pace of the livestock that are in front of me, and according to the endurance of the children, until I come to my lord in Seir in Edom." Now Jacob may have been concerned about travelling through Edom, and may have used this excuse to avoid following Esau to Seir, because he heads in the opposite direction. Then Esau said, "Please let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But Jacob said, "What need is there for it? Let me find favor in the sight of my lord." So Esau turned back toward the south that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed north to Succoth and built himself a house and made shelters for his livestock. So the name of the place is Succoth or Succoth, which means huts or shelters. Now Jacob settles in Shechem. When Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely in the peace at the city of Shechem in the land of Canaan, encamped in front of a walled city. The King James Version and many others say that Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, where he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Then he brought the piece of land on which he had pitched his tents from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Now, there he erected an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, which means God, the Almighty God of Israel. Now, Genesis chapter 34 speaks of the defiling of Jacob's daughter Dinah and the treachery of Jacob's sons. Now, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out unescorted to visit the girls of the land. When Shechem, possibly named after the city, or vice versa, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince or sheikh of the land, saw her, he kidnapped her and lay intimately with her by force, offending and defiling her. But his soul longed for her and clung to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke comfortingly to her young heart's wishes. So Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this young woman as a wife." Now Jacob heard that Shechem had defiled or violated Dinah, his daughter, but his sons were in the field with his livestock, so Jacob said nothing until they came in. But Shechem's father Hamor went to Jacob to talk with him. Now when Jacob's sons heard of it, they came in from the field, and they were deeply grieved, and they were very angry. For Shechem had done a disgraceful thing to Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing is not to be done. This use of the word Israel implies that the family of Israel, Jacob, was developing into a distinct people or nation. They are recognized by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, as a separate nation in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 9, where he said, "To his people, behold, the people of the sons of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. They greatly outnumber us." So Hamor conferred with them, Jacob and his sons, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem deeply longs for your daughter and sister Dinah. Please give her to him as his wife. And beyond that, intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us as wives and take our daughters for yourselves. In this way, you shall live with us. The country will be open to you. Live and do business in it and acquire property and possessions in it." Shechem himself also said to Dinah's father, Jacob, and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your sight, and I will give you whatever you ask. Demand of me a very large bridal payment and gift as compensation for giving up your daughter and sister. And I will give you whatever you tell me. Only give me the girl to be my wife." Jacob's sons answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, because Shechem had defiled and disgraced their sister Dinah. They said to them, "We cannot do this thing and give our sister in marriage to one who is not circumcised, because that would be a disgrace to us. But we will consent to you only on this condition, if you will become like us, and that every male among you consents to be circumcised. Then we will give our daughter to you in marriage, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live with you and become one people. But if you do not listen to us and refuse to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter Dinah and go." Whoa. Join me next week when we find out what Shechem and Hamor decide to do. Until then, take care out there. Hakon Adar. And God bless you.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.